today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Back at it for another episode of Talkin' Rock with one of my favorite guys, Don Jameson, that metal guy from That Metal Show. We talk about rock, rock, and more rock, including his upcoming tour with the Michigan Boys and Girl and Pop Evil.
And then this touring opportunity came up, and they were into it, and I was into it.
His favorite bands with three members, four members, five members, and more. How about touring the country with some of these bands, with them in their tour buses? What's that like?
Man, I got to tell you, Meltdown, I really do dig it, man. I like being on the bus. I like the camaraderie of being out with a band, but I have none of the drama of being actually in the band.
We discuss the next big arena rock band and who he thinks it might be, the future of That Metal Show, and lots more. Don Jameson, That Metal Guy, is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Don Jameson is my guest today on the Talkin' Rock podcast. Really good guy, super knowledgeable about rock, and just an entertaining guy to talk to. Love having him on from time to time. He's going to be playing some shows here in Michigan and traveling around the country as well with a Michigan rock band, which we'll get into here coming up in just a little bit. Al Beck is going to have rock news coming up after Don. We talk about a couple festivals that just announced all sorts of dates and bands playing, including one down in the Carolinas and one in Chicago. Guns N' Roses news. The most streamed song as far as classic rock is concerned for the 20th century. See if you can guess what that is. We'll get into that coming up here in a bit. Green Day news, Nikki Sixx, Angus Young as well. And then a little story about my Tom Morello gig that I hosted over the weekend, which was really cool. Of course, Tom from Rage Against the Machine and Audio Slave. In the meantime, that's coming up here in just a bit. Five-star reviews, ratings, five-star ratings. If you want to write a review, we appreciate that as well as we're getting down near the end of the year as far as the Talkin' Rock podcast is concerned. But first, we've got to talk with Don Jameson, That Metal Guy, today on Talkin' Rock. Hey, Don, how's things, man?
It's a glorious day, my friend, here in New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. Yeah, before we get into your gigs in Southeast Michigan and what you got coming up in the future, I don't know if you heard my interview with Satchel last week, name dropped you. You're texting me while I'm talking to the greatest guitar player in that band. And I mean, that would be a perfect fit for you to go on stage with those guys. How come you've never toured with Steel Panther? What's up with that?
No, I appreciate you dropping my name with them. And I've talked to those guys about it, and it's just a matter of getting the schedule together and making it happen. But yeah, it seems like a natural fit. So, they're comedy, I'm comedy, and obviously you get some good hard rock music along with it.
Yeah, how many times do you think you've seen that band in your life?
Oh, dude, when we used to tape That Metal Show in Los Angeles, it'd be every Monday would be at the House of Blues to see them play. And you saw them in the days, too, when they were Metal School.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing these guys for years, probably seen them, I don't know, 40 times.
It's funny because to me, like, I don't see them like every week, obviously. I see them, a few times a year or whatever. But I don't know. It's just one of the it's you can't go there and help but just have a good time.
Yeah, and then all the times I've seen them and like been backstage, they can, when they're not in costume, they could still walk right past me and I'll have no idea who it is.
Right. And they're really super nice guys, so.
Well, because they look so different without all the wigs on and the makeup and the outfits. I mean, all the dudes have, except for Mike Starr, have short hair.
Right.
And Lexi looks like he could be your accountant without the wig. So, but they're on stage. They're amazing characters.
Yeah. Well, Lexi, of course, is off in a sex rehab, as you may have seen the presser. But they got their guy Spider on the stage, and it's remarkable how much he looks like Nikki Sixx. So.
Yeah. There might be taking a little shot there. I know that those guys toured, and I don't think Motley got the joke. So
yeah,
might be a little shot back at him, but that's all right.
So you got some big things coming up, man. This is so cool. I want to talk about the gig you have coming up next year, early 2019. You're heading off on tour with my friends from Pop Evil, eh?
Yeah, dude, I'm, you know, all the next couple of months, I'm all about Michigan. You know, Pop Evil, great band from Michigan, and made friends with those guys a few years ago. And, yeah, just a big fan of theirs. And when this touring opportunity came up, and they were into it, and I was into it, and, yeah, we're off and running January, February, direct support to these guys. We're going to do about 25 dates in 30 days. So excited to be coming around. Unfortunately, nowhere near you guys, but the rest of the country.
Yeah, I was just going to say, a road trip is definitely going to have to happen, because I got to get out there and see you guys on this tour around my crazy schedule. But, I mean, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. This is going to be like, is this like a theater type tour?
Yeah, like House of Blues, okay, and theaters and stuff. So, yeah, real super nice venues. And then there's a couple other supporting bands that are coming along with us who are kick-ass. So, yeah, I think it's a good package. You know, man, it's I like doing the, you know me, man. I love mixing the comedy with the music, man. The more we can do that, the better, man. And it seems to be growing. You know, you got Jim Brewer out on the road with Metallica. You got Larry the Cable Guy going out with Styx.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so it's cool. We're trending, man. We're trending.
Man, that's awesome. I never thought you'd be trending, but here you are in 2018,
yeah,
trending.
Man. 52 years old with sideburns from the 70s and tight jeans, and I'm finally trending.
Tight jeans, yeah, they're tight, really tight jeans, yeah. So, gotta be tight. So, anyways, yeah, that's cool. I've talked to you about this before, but, I mean, will you go out there every single night with kind of around the same skeleton of a set, or do you change it according to cities, according to, you know, what's going on in the world, or how does this work?
Yeah, I think, you know, I always go out with a kind of an idea in my head of what's going to happen. And then, you know, depending on the response and, you know, what kind of items are being thrown at me, you know, I can adjust on the fly. But, you know, look, when I do the rock tours, I keep it mostly to sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I got a couple new surprises up my sleeve for people who have seen me out on the road with whoever, Faster Pussycat or Hookers and Blow or whatever. I got a new little wrinkle in the act that I'm excited to do, because we're playing in nicer places, so I'm going to add a little visual element to what I'm doing as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, too. So you spent the whole summer out with the guys from Faster Pussycat and stuff, and how'd that go over?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my liver gave 2 weeks notice at the end of the tour, but other than that, it was pretty, you know, we're all touring buddies now. It's my second run with them, and, you know, we did a month the first time, and they didn't kill me, so I gave them 2 months this time, and they still couldn't kill me, so they reported back to Eddie Trunk, and they said, this Jameson guy's a lot harder to kill than we thought.
How do you like touring the country? I like touring the country in a tour bus with those rock guys.
Man, I got to tell you, Meltdown, I really do dig it, man. I like being on the bus. I like the camaraderie of being out with a band, but I have none of the drama of being actually in the band.
Right.
Which is great, because that is what you miss from being a comedian. You miss sort of that brotherhood of, you know, we're out on the road and we're warriors and we're going town to town. So I do, man. And I, you know, when I was out with Faster, you know, the last couple of weeks, and I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, I was like, you know, I'm really itching now to go back home and work in the comedy clubs again. It's a lot more relaxed and, you know, not as intense of a schedule. But I've been biting my nails now for a month. I can't wait to get back out there now with Pop Evil. So I get the best of both worlds, man.
Now, do you, when you go out, I mean, so obviously there's two different wrinkles. You got the comedy club, then you got the, going out with the bands and stuff. I don't know how to word this, but is it easier to work in a comedy club? With what you do.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. I mean, people are seated. They know they're there for comedy. They're having a reasonable amount of drinks. You know, when you do a rock club, you know, these people could have been in the club since 6 o'clock. You
right.
know, I'm on at 10:30. You know, they could have had, you know, a dozen beers and shots in them by then. But, I always tell people, like, other comics are amazed by it. They'll always ask me, I'll go, how do you do that, man? I go, think back to the early days when we used to do the bar gigs. where, you know, it would just be a Tuesday night and they would just try comedy there on a Tuesday, you know, on one of the off nights. And it was all locals in there. They wouldn't even turn, you know, the baseball game off the TV. And, you know, you're basically screaming at a bunch of drunks. I go, that's kind of what it's like, but just a little bit more controlled. And, you know, luckily, because of, you know, doing that metal show for so many years, I have a little, you know, the audience has a little bit of an investment with me. You know, at least get 2 or 3 minutes before, you know, they start
turning on you. Yeah, right, exactly. So you're coming through town. You're playing the Token. Now, explain this to me. So you're going to be playing the Token on the 14th or 15th, two nights, but the one night's with Battle Cross. It's like their Battle Christmas or whatever they call it, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, the Token Lounge is one of my favorite places. I don't know how to quit you, Token Lounge. I don't. I've been, you know, this is like my 6th or 7th time playing there. And, the Battle Cross, obviously another great band from the area. That was one of my picks of the week on That Metal Show early on. Always dug their energy and just, you know, what they bring, you know, live and on the record. They're just an amazing band. So, yeah, it's their Christmas party. I'm coming out to host it on the 14th. And then if you come to that, you can get a free ticket to the comedy show Saturday night, the 15th.
Oh, cool.
Be myself and two other great local comics. And we're going to put a band on at the end, too, so people can hang out and party and we can have a good time. So, but you can go to either one of them separately. But like I said, if you know, most people can't go two nights in a row. People from Detroit Rock City can party two nights in a row. So I expect to see everybody at both shows.
That is true. So, all right, so we got the plugs out of the way. Get your Pop Evil. You're coming through town at the Token on the 14th and 15th. Let's talk some rock and roll here. So we're just talking about this before we started that, you know, the next big rock band. Now, I've asked people about this before. It's 2018. Metallica is selling out, you know, arenas and stadiums all over the place. Guns N' Roses is selling out, you know, stadiums and arenas all over the place. It's like 1992. What's the next big band that's going to be coming through, you think, that's going to be selling out? I mean, could it be a Five Finger Death Punch or someone along those lines? I mean, what do you think?
Listen, Adam Levine said rock is over.
So I hear. They're done.
Everyone's just going to retire now because,
right.
You know,
right.
Adam Levine said so. You know, I mean, look, I'm like you. I can't wait for them to play the Super Bowl halftime show. That's some of the most exciting news I've heard.
Oh, wait a second. I didn't even hear that. So what's Banny's in? He's in Maroon.
He's in Maroon. Yeah, okay. He's in Maroon. You know, he's a move like Jagger. Just move off the halftime show and put a real band on there.
Right.
They might as well hire a band called Beer Run, because that's what we're going to be doing while he's jumping around on stage. And I don't even really know what they do, but they're not a rock band. And for him to comment on the state of rock, you know, it's every time someone tries to lay down the gauntlet on our style of music, they're always proven wrong. Because, like you said, the scene's healthier than ever. Sure, there's bands like Five Finger Death Punch and Disturbed who are out there. Now, they're selling out, you know, definitely arenas and you know, possibly stadiums. You got Volbeat, you know, who are still building. And then you got the whole slew of bands that are just underneath them who are coming up, the Greta Van Fleets, the Struts, you know, who am I thinking of? Eddie Trunk's favorite band. What's the names?
Thin Lizzy?
Well, the greatest band ever, but
right.
not exactly up and coming. But you know, we got a lot of great rock bands on the horizon coming up. So I think everything is good. It's a healthy scene. And yeah, man, we're always marginalized by somebody, but we always come back strong.
Yeah, you know what? So you mentioned those bands. All great bands. I've got nothing against them. But it's funny because, let's face the facts. I mean, when it comes to rock and roll in the American psyche, okay, you don't even have to know a Guns N' Roses song to recognize Slash. You know what I'm saying? The guys from Metallica, I mean, James and Lars, I mean, they are bona fide celebrities that could probably go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? It's like, does David Draymond have that, or Ivan Moody, or any of these other guys? You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to figure out, like, who could be the next Metallica, the next Guns N' Roses? You know what I'm saying? It's a kind of a tricky question. I haven't Jay Rustin last year told me possibly Ghost could do it. You know, they're playing some big shows coming up here, so I don't know.
Well, listen, Grandpa Meltdown, there's actually some there's actually some people out there who don't really know who Hetfield and Ulrich are. That they that people like Ivan or David are more recognizable to them. So, you know, we got to remember that as well. But you know, Jay. I think Jay might be right. You know, the Ghost is doing two arena shows on this latest tour, I guess, as a kind of a tester, and I think they both sold out. So I think, you know, between, you know, the visual, the theatrics, and of course, you know, what's always most important, the music, that they're attracting fans. I mean, you know, they're, you know, a little bit, of, you know, I like a little Satanism with my rock and roll.
Hey, listen, you know, put yourself back in 1991. When Metallica put out that Black record, you know, you could not escape it no matter where you went. You know what I'm saying? Then they went on that tour in 1992, and it's like, that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, where is that right now? And it's like, boy, we still got, think about the bands that were big back in 1992. And I mean, the Rolling Stones are still playing stadiums and stuff. It's like, I'm just, listen, I want a stadium band. It's not that I'm like slagging on any bands. I'm just curious as to who's going to fill that void.
Well, I heard that if I plugged the Battlecross Christmas party on your show, that we might actually have to move it to Ford Field because the ticket sales would be so humongous.
That is true. Maybe two nights there.
Yeah, we might do two nights at the stadium, but the comedy show will still be intimate at the Token Lounge.
Okay, all right, there you go. Fair enough. Hey, sometimes you might see I pose these stupid questions on Twitter and whatnot, so I'm just going to throw a couple at you real fast to pick your brain, since I love talking rock and roll with you. So the one I did today, Slash or Zach, what do you got?
Wow. Only because, you know, he's my Jersey guy. I got to go with Zach.
Zach, okay. Yeah. Great bass riffs and great bass players. What's in your wheelhouse?
I mean, look, obviously, my hero of life is Lemmy, and he played the bass. Unlike most other people, was he technically the best? No. You want to go to a Geezer Butler, that's a great answer. Or we can go a little alternative and say Les Claypool. Mm. All equally amazing, all unique, all, you know, heavy.
Yeah, but Lemmy, I guess I should say this. Peter Steele had a little Lemmy in him, didn't he, with the way he played it?
Yeah, played more, you know, like chords on a bass, more of a rhythm guitar player on the bass. And that's what, you know, Fast Eddie Clark, you know, was a Gibson Les Paul player his whole life up until he got into Motorhead. And he's like, I can't cut through Lemmy's bass with anything other than a Stratocaster. So that's why he actually had to switch.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you know, I interviewed Johnny and Kenny from Typo Negative like a month ago or so, and I've kind of gone on this like Typo Negative bender. Were they in your wheelhouse?
Totally. When we had a club here on the East Coast called L'Amour in Brooklyn.
Yeah, they brought that up, yeah.
Everybody played at, you know, but we called L'Amour's, you know, if you're from Brooklyn. Let's go to L'Amour's tonight. And I went. Peter would always just be in there hanging as a fan. I just always, for whatever reason, I used to run into him in the bathroom. It was just a weird thing where we would just like see each other in the bathroom, and then eventually we'd just have full conversations in the bathroom at L'Amour's. But I don't think he ever knew like really who I was. It was just always the guy in the bathroom at L'Amour's.
The guy with the sideburns in the bathroom that's constantly checking me out. Yeah,
the same time as me, and everyone knows he's legendary for. You know,
right? Exactly. If you could build a super group, I might have asked you this before, but if you could build a super group, who would be in it?
Well, of course, so we got to start with Lemmy. Yeah. You know, front and center has got to be my hero. You know, I would. It's tough, man, because let's put two guitar players in. So I would put, you know, let's put Dimebag in there and Eddie Van Halen. Mm. Now you got two guitar players. You already got the bass player, so you just need a drummer now, right? Just need a drummer. Huh. See, it'd be easy to go towards a Neil Peart or somebody like that. But I'm thinking with all that firepower in front of the drummer on stage. I think you need somebody maybe a little more chill back there. I'm thinking, you know, a guy who can, has got a little swing, who can play back a little bit, but can also pound the drums. Got to put Brian Downey from Thin Lizzy back there.
Really? Now, see, I thought you were going to say somebody with a little bit more like you said, firepower back there. I mean, Neil Peart, obviously, you know, technical, everything, but I thought you'd mention someone like, have you ever seen Haley from Pop Evil play? She hits the drums harder than a lot of guys I see play. You know what I'm saying?
It's incredible. I told her last time when they played New Jersey, I said, she's the missing link to that band.
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect to their other drummer, because he was a fine drummer as well, but just, yeah, you're right, man. She just, every song just comes to life, and she's kick ass, and she's a super cool person. So again, the kid can't wait to get out there and rock with those guys.
Yeah. So let's go through some three-piece, four-piece, five-piece bands and stuff. Favorite three-piece, I mean, obviously that's a given with Motorhead, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So how many, let me ask you this. Did you become friends with Lemmy over your lifetime, or did you just kind of meet him here and there? I mean, he was on the show and whatnot, right?
Yeah, friendly, you know, like we never exchanged phone numbers or anything, but for whatever, I think he took a liking to me because I wasn't trying to meet him. You know, I think he liked that. You know, I wasn't sort of fanboying over him. And, you know, when he, probably like the third time that he did that metal show, I was walking by his dressing room, and he said, "Don, come in here." And I'm like, I'm already like freaked out that he even like knows my name. Like, that's already amazing. And he's like, "Sit down, have a drink." And I'm like, wow, I'm about to have a Jack and Coke with Lemmy. You know, like it doesn't, that's, you know, heavy metal bucket list, you know, number one checkoff thing. So
for sure, yeah.
And that was the first of many that I had with him. So, we were friendly. I got to see him at a 70th birthday party in L.A. And, you know, unfortunately, I knew that was the last time I was going to see him before he passed, which it was. He died a few weeks later.
Right.
And but I was glad to see him one more time and tell him that he was my hero.
That is cool. That's a great story, man. Other three-piece bands that you're into? I know you mentioned Les Claypool. Is that kind of in your scene or...?
You know, they're a little on the outskirts,
right?
You know, definitely. And you can talk about three piece. I'm definitely more into, you know, like a King's X,
right?
Who are, you know, so unbelievably underrated. I can't imagine a rock band that's more underrated than King's X. So, big fan of those guys for years. Who's another big one I'm forgetting? Trios.
Are you a Rush fan? Triumph, anything like that?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Those are, you know, but not top. They're not top tens, but they're, you know, they're up there. I'd face the wrath of Eddie Trunk for that comment, but I'll survive. But yeah, those, you know, all great bands, of course. I mean, I do like the Trio for the sense of like, it, you know, if they can bring out a lot of power, you know, that's really impressive, you know, to get that much power out of three pieces, pretty amazing. So I was down the Rush rabbit hole the other day, going through like old videos from like the 70s, and it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. What about four piece bands? What do you got? What's some of your favorites in that realm?
Well, you know, speaking about going down rabbit holes, because of the Queen movie, me, like everybody else.
Dude, awesome movie.
And now now it's just for hours on YouTube going down the rabbit hole and just, you know, reigniting my love for them and, you know, going back to all the deep tracks like, you know, the Fairy Fellers, Master Stroke and Ogre Battle and Seven Seas of Rye and all that crazy stuff. Because we all know the hits, right? But when you really go down and listen to some of the deep tracks, I mean, there's some incredible stuff. So, you know, always loved them, but this film definitely reignited that love again.
Yeah, the film was great. And, of course, that one line with Mike Myers about how kids will never headbang in their car to this song was, like, classic. But, I want to see that movie again. It's a great movie. It's funny you mention that because I think I've got a Day at the Races or whatever it is, and Night at the, and what the hell else do I have? I got a couple of records. I can't remember even which ones, but I've been listening to them lately just because of watching the movie, you know? So
yeah, no, it's been great. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you're talking about four piece, the first thing that really pops in my head is Van Halen, you know, the classic American rock band, you know, arguably the best or easily one of the best, but, you know, them for sure.
Yeah. So what about, we'll move up the chain here. So five piece bands, what do you got?
Well, five piece, you know, I immediately think of the mighty Judas Priest.
Right.
You know, you and I are super high on their newest record, and, you know, they just announced more tour dates for Firepower, which is great. They should. I mean, the album is super solid, and, you know, they're a top three band for me, so, I'd have to put them in there.
And what about bands with six or more players in them?
I don't know. You know, what do we do? How many numbers are we going
out to? This is the last number, but I'm just saying six or more. What do you got?
Gwar.
Gwar, yeah.
I love Gwar.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Slipknot guy, I think, myself, when it comes to over six. You know, the Mushroom Head guys or something like that. But, yeah. What about with bands over 90? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. We could keep going on with this. Hey, so the question people probably ask you the most is, what's going on with that metal show? Is there any news or is there anything going on with that for 2019?
Well, you know, we're working on a fresh new version of it, and looking for a home. You know, that's the thing. It's you know, Adam Levine doesn't help our cause any when this guy comes out and it proclaims rock to be dead, and then everybody gets, you know, listen to him and get scared because he's on The Voice. So it's always a tricky waters to navigate. To, you know, believe it or not, you know, TV stations aren't looking for three doughy white guys from New Jersey necessarily. So
listen, just
they have to trick them into thinking that we got something going on somehow.
Maybe you guys should add a doughy white guy from Michigan too. So maybe that would maybe I could play the guitar. I was just out with Bumblefoot a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me about playing on the show.
Well, yeah, and Bumblefoot wrote the theme song to that metal show.
Song? He did? I didn't know that.
He did. Yeah, and after waiting 6 months, about 100 phone calls, and then finally bringing up an ex-con to the VH1 offices, he actually got paid for it.
That's nice, man. Yeah, Bumble's a great guy. I was out with him and David Ellefson a couple weeks back. They were doing that bass story thing, and man, I was just sitting there. I mean, obviously Bumblefoot's so good, but I had to drive him around a little bit for their meet and greets and different things, and I was watching him sound check, and David Ellefson's bass the tone is like so remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, he's also, you know, besides being a great bass player, he's, you know, obviously a great dude. He's a great family man. You know, I was saying, you know, I introduced that show in New York, and, you know, what I said about David was, you know, I performed at the opening of his first coffee house because, you know, he's in the coffee business now, and he opened up a coffee shop in his hometown of Jackson, Minnesota. And, you know, I went out there and I met him at the one gas station in town, and he took me on a tour of where he grew up, this town of Jackson, and after that electric 6 minutes of driving around the town, I really saw where his humble beginnings came from. You know, he comes from this town of a few thousand people, and I get it, man. He's a hometown guy. He's a family guy. You know, obviously he's been through a lot in his life, but he's always stayed grounded because he's always, you know, wore his, you know, where he's from on his sleeve, which I always like an artist. You know, Kid Rock, of course, being the prime example of that. He wears Detroit on his sleeve constantly, man, so I really respect that.
Yeah. Hey, final thing here for you, and then we'll let you fly. Pop Evil Tour, of course, in 2019. You got these two gigs at the Token, the 14th and the 15th, and that's cool. If you go to the 14th, you get to come back for the night number two. So, and probably
free of charge.
Yeah, probably to see a little bit more of your stand-up, right? Are you going to do a little bit longer set on Saturday?
Yeah, it'll be a full set on Saturday. You know, there won't be that much. It'll mostly be bands. You know, those guys will be the stars on Friday.
On Friday, right.
That'll cross the headline. But yeah, well, I mean, we'll have some funnies and stuff on Friday too. But Saturday will be the, you know, like I said, it'll be myself and two other comics, and then after we're done, we'll hang and rock out to. I know he's going to line up a great metal cover band, so it'll be a good night.
So if you could pick a bucket list gig, what would it be?
Oh, bucket list gig. Oh boy, I think any performer, no matter where you are in the world, sort of no matter what your artistic flair is or whatever you do, Madison Square Garden is the place, right? I mean, that's what everybody aspires to, is to perform in Madison Square Garden. Hmm. So, yeah, still hoping one day, man, it's to get in there. You never know. You know, comedy's on an uptick again. Bill Burr just played Madison Square Garden. So, you know, as long as guys like him, you know, keep it so that comics can still be rock stars, you know, there's always a chance, so we'll see.
Kind of like your hero Dice Man, right? Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's where I always got the idea. It was like, oh, you know, because I go see Dice at the Garden or these arenas, and it was like, okay, comics play arenas. I didn't know when I started, I was going to be playing, you know, Chauncey's bar on a Tuesday night without a microphone, standing on a case of beer as a stage.
That's too funny. All right, brother. Well, it's been too long. Can't wait to see you here in the Motor City for two big nights. And, of course, we'll have to make the road trip out to see you guys in the Pop Evil Boys and Girl next year as well.
Fantastic, man. I can't wait to hang a little bit. We'll do some record shopping, and we'll have a lot of fun next weekend, brother.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And there he is, that metal guy, Don Jameson, right here on the Talkin' Rock podcast. And those guys do a great job when they go out and do the show live. Of course, the show is not on, you know, VH1 anymore, but we'll see what happens in the future. So, Al Beck joins me today for some rock news. And we got a few things to get to, including Guns N' Roses, Green Day, Angus Young. But we're going to start with some festival talk. And these festivals are pretty cool. And 2018 seems to be the year of the Revolving Festival because of, I don't know, legal issues. Something going on between the promoters and whatnot. They've had to change the name of some of these festivals, you know, Rock in the Range, and now Sonic Temple, and now you got Epicenter as well.
Yeah, Epicenter just announced with a great lineup. It's another 3-day festival taking place in North Carolina. It's going to be in May, the weekend of the 10th, so May 10th, 11th, and 12th. But the headliners for each day, the Friday night's going to be Korn, the Saturday night Tool, and Foo Fighters are going to headline the Sunday night show. But Meltdown, some of the other bands on this, you got Rob Zombie, Evanescence is on there, Meshuggah for some heavy metal, Bush, Black Label Society, The Cult, Judas Priest. It's just one of those, it just keeps going. Bring Me the Horizon, you know, Mastodon, more.
Yeah, well, Danny Wimmer Productions puts on all these things, and I think they got a really good relationship with a lot of the bands, and the bands, they want to get on these festivals because, you know, it's a chance for them to play in front of, you know, 20, 25, 30,000 people if they can. And, you know, they might play theaters outside of this, so to get in front of all those people and you know, really move their band and, you know, move their product and stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's a win-win for all of them. And then Chicago Open Air is the following weekend, as is Sonic Temple in Columbus. Yep. So Chicago Open Air has bands like System of a Down and Meshuggah and Tool and Ghost
is on that. Yeah.
So a lot of bands.
Beartooth, for a newer band in this moment. Gojira's a band that I love. I love Gojira. Great drummer in that band, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah. So that's going to be happening the weekend of the 18th and 19th, right in May.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, those festivals are really cool, man, if you get a chance to check them out. And I'm really glad they came over here because back in the day, it's like these festivals were pretty much, you know, overseas and different things like that. You know, the bands, it was hard for them to get to, like, you know, in Australia or, you know, play, you know, a couple places in Europe or whatever, or just get this big, huge festival and take care of, you know, kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. So, but now they're doing them here in America, and they're doing them right, and they're so much fun to go and check out.
And I know you tend to make it down to formerly Rock on the Range and now Sonic Temple. So you've made it to a bunch of these festivals or multiple times.
Yeah, I've been down there. I've been to Louder Than Life, which is really cool. It's in Bourbon Country.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, that's right. The girl working behind the bar at the hotel I stayed at, this pretty nice hotel, actually. And this girl working behind the bar knew more about whiskey and bourbon than anyone I've ever met.
Yeah?
She was like 25.
Well, there you go. She's off to a good start.
Well, you know, down there, it's the law.
Yeah, I think it might be.
In Louisville, so.
I think it might be. So those are some concerts that are coming up. Now, obviously, Guns N' Roses was recently out on their Not In This Lifetime tour. Big tour, took a lot of time with it. That just recently wrapped up. And this was the funny thing. There was an Instagram post on Axl Rose's official Instagram. It's a little bit cryptic in a way, I guess. It's after a show. He's walking backstage, you know, wearing a hat and a robe. And then it just says, the end, with an ellipsis and a question mark at the end.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with it. I know that they've got some stuff that they've been working on. Rumor has it, this T-Rex thing, which we were talking about before. They did a song, Children of the Revolution, mm-hmm. for a T-Rex tribute. So we'll see what happens as far as Guns N' Roses is concerned. You know, like Slash said, he wouldn't be surprised if there's some new stuff to come out in the future, but they had no plans for it right now. Slash is out there working his new stuff, and I don't know. They made a ton of money, so.
Yeah. You want to play a little guessing game here, Meltdown?
Yes, I do. You told me about this earlier, yeah. So go ahead.
All right, so they tallied up, you know, we got all these streaming services these days, your Apple Musics, your Spotify's, and so forth. They tallied up the most streamed song from the 20th century.
Okay, so...
So, meaning it was released in the 20th century.
Oh, it was released?
It was released in the 20th century.
Okay.
Yes. And the hint I will give you is that it's a classic rock band.
Okay, it's a classic rock band.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Here, I'm going to take five. I'm going to take... Okay. All right, I'm trying to figure out how I can do this. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple bands, and you tell me if I'm in the ballpark.
Okay.
Led Zeppelin, The Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of in the right ballpark.
Okay, any of those bands?
No.
Oh, man, no.
No.
Come on, man, really?
Yeah, no, it's none of them.
Okay, so.
I feel like if once you get the band or if I tell you the band, I think you'll be able to figure out which song it is. I will give you another hint that it's a band that ordinarily we wouldn't necessarily talk about a lot, but lately it's been coming up again and again on this podcast.
Okay, I know what it is. Okay, yep. Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
There you go. There you go. And they tallied up 1.6 billion global streams for that song.
And you know what? That's all due to Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Without question. That song was never really a hit. And all of a sudden, you know, Wayne's World kind of dug it up and threw it on the big screen. And it became a monstrous hit for those guys. I'm not saying the song is bad or nothing. I'm just saying that's just kind of what it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now that you mentioned it, I remember seeing something about that. So, yeah. For a song that they said wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, they did follow up the information. They're like, oh, it's the top streamed song from the 20th century, you know. And then it's like the top streamed classic rock song ever. I was like, well... Nothing from the 21st century qualifies as classic rock.
That is true.
So, I mean, this is extra information at that point.
So there you go, Queen. Yeah. Yeah, especially with the movie. I wonder how many people downloaded or streamed it or whatever since the movie came out.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe add a few to those.
Yeah.
But that's talking classic rock. How about some new rock? It looks like in an Instagram live post, Billy Joe Armstrong has mentioned that he is currently writing some new songs for Green Day as we speak. Which is kind of funny that they were in the news a lot because they Dookie and then Insomnia. Both of those albums, they rehearsed them in their entirety. So everyone was kind of speculating, are we going to get like a Dookie tour where they do the full album or what's going on? And then they disappeared from the news, but now they're back working on a new material.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, American Idiot's one of my favorites from those guys, man. It's like this concept thing, man. It's just so cool. Some of the songs are really good. Some of the songs are really long, and it just flows really well, and it's always been one of my favorites. So we'll see what happens with some new Green Day stuff. And then you got something about Nikki Sixx and 6 a.m. I'm kind of maybe rehashing that.
Yeah, you know, we had a recently on the podcast, we talked about how Nikki Sixx has got a trio of projects planned for 2019. You and I sat here and speculated maybe one of those was going to be 6 a.m. And all we've got confirmed is that he's revealed that in a couple of weeks they're planning on shooting a video with 6 a.m. Of course, they haven't released anything new since 2017.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see some new stuff coming out in 2019. It has been a little while since those guys did that. And Nicky's the kind of guy. He he likes to be out doing stuff. So
yeah.
If they're not going to do anything with Motley, and I'm really looking forward to the Dirt, obviously. I'll be watching that the first weekend it comes out to check out that and see what it looks like. Because, you know, I guess I'm more interested to see like what it looks like and who plays all the characters and stuff
and actually
see the story.
Yeah, another one of those biopics coming up here.
Yeah, so that should be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then a final thing here for you, Angus Young with the pop vinyl thing.
Yeah, you know those little character statue things. I don't collect them, but a lot of people like the pop vinyl are actually kind of popular right now, and Funko, which is one of the companies that makes these things, is making an Angus Young pop vinyl, which is kind of cool. Unfortunately, it won't be here in time for a Christmas gift. It's going to be released in January.
Yeah, and I hear it's actual size, so
yeah, it says. Well, we can get one for you too.
Had to be a little taller than me.
Yeah, but it might be.
Yeah, actually I think for Christmas last year my stepdaughter got me the Slash one and the James Hetfield one.
Nice.
Those are two guys that were on my Christmas cards the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But hey, real fast, just wanted to tell you about this. So Friday night, I got the chance to host this Tom Morello thing. And man, it was friggin' cool. So Tom Morello is doing this thing around the country. If you get a chance to see, it's kind of like his history and stuff, but he talks about, you know, forming Rage Against the Machine, meeting Chris Cornell, his opening bands, mm-hmm. even talks about his politics. They got pictures, you know, going behind mm-hmm. us and stuff like that. So I get to this small venue down in southwest Detroit about, I don't know, 6:30, quarter seven, and I meet with the girl there, and she kind of gives me this script. They kind of have like a script, and it's not really like, you know, read verbatim, but this is kind of the order that it goes in. And so you can see like the pictures behind you, and then he plays, you know, he does all this stuff. And so anyway, so Tom shows up around 7:30. We were supposed to go on at 8 or so. I guess he was eating dinner and stuff with, like, he had some cousins who live in Michigan. They kind of all met up here. He went out and had some Mexican down there, because that's kind of like where all the Mexican restaurants
are. Yeah.
So anyways, so it was pretty cool. So we're supposed to start at 8 o'clock, and around 8 o'clock, 8:05, you know, his cousins start to leave and stuff. And then it's like, you know, getting like 10 after whatever. And they're like, how about 8:15? Okay, 8:15. That sounds good. So everyone starts to leave. Next thing you know, it's just me and Tom in this room. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
So I did this selfie with me and him in this big giant mirror that's on there. And I'm like, you know, you can see the camera, obviously,
but
it's just kind of, hey, Tom, let's take a picture. He was super cool about it, and I've actually met him before, and he's really nice. So
really smart guy too.
Yeah,
really,
he's super smart,
super intelligent.
Yeah, and he's really nice. And so anyways, we're back there, and we're in this room, and we're just kind of, you know, just BSing and stuff. And I'm a little nervous because this area is full of 300 people, and that doesn't really make me nervous. I just don't want to mess up the order and stuff, and I want to make sure everything goes really well.
Right.
Well, the night turned out to be, you know, fantastic. So they told me at first I was supposed to be on stage room for like 45 minutes, and then it turned into like, well, it's probably going to be an hour. Well, it ended up being an hour and a half. And that's fine. Because, you know, he kept filling me with Jameson, so that's all right.
Yeah.
So we go up on stage and we start talking about his new record, Alice Underground, and it's pretty cool. It's guitarish, but there's a lot of this like dance EDM kind of beats and stuff
really?
To it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got all this different kind of stuff on this record with all sorts of different guests, from Kay Flay to one of the guys from Mumford and Sons to you know, guys from Wu-Tang Clan and all this stuff and everything in between. And of course, it's a lot of, you know, social justice stuff and you know, the whole thing. So we start talking about that record, and we start talking about, you know, how he just went back to Kenya, and then, you know, the order was kind of screwy, and then we had to go back to the record. Now, like, you know, me personally, I would have switched the order around, but I'm just there to, you know, bless the thing.
That's a cool experience, though, to go up there and
it was
and
awesome.
Host that. That's awesome.
It was really cool. So Tom, we're talking about, you know, whatever, and he goes, hey, do you want me to play a couple? You know, want me to play a little bit? And of course, everyone cheers, right? And so Tom goes up and plays for like 3 or 4 minutes, and he's like at least like literally like 10 feet away from me playing, and he's like doing the whammy bar thing, like the foot pedals and all that stuff, you know, and he's got his cool guitar, and it says, you know, whatever it says on it, some social justice thing, you know. And anyway, so it dawns on me like halfway through the song, I'm like, holy crap, man, I'm in a bar with 300 people, and Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine is just going wild next to me, you know. And so he comes back and he sits down, and I say that to the crowd, I'm like, hey, you guys, we're in a bar in southwest Detroit, and Tom Morello is playing guitar.
And I know.
Everybody erupts, you know, and it was really cool. So we talked about Rage, we talked about Chris Cornell, we talked about, you know, the Hall of Fame, and so he has a different host in every city and stuff. And I guess this was the first one to kick off over the weekend here in Michigan. Then he went to Kansas City over the weekend and did a couple other dates. So if you get a chance and you're out there and you want to see that, it's pretty cool. He does rip. He shows He shows, like, you know, he's super innovative. He's not one of these guys who just plays guitar, you know? And so he starts showing how a couple of songs, like in one of the songs from Rage, I'm not going to give too much away, but he'd like accidentally like hit the chords with like the with like one of the Allen wrenches.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, hey, that's pretty cool, you know? And then we talked about the end of Sleeping on the Fire, where it's got this Korean radio coming through the speaker, and that actually is, and he told me beforehand, when he started on stage, he thought the Korean people thought there was like some sort of like, you know, some message that he was trying to get out. He's like, no, it just happened to be bleeding through. So we just kept it, you know. So it was
some little nuances. I'll tell you, those are some of the coolest experiences that you can have. It's a privilege that you and I have had in our radio careers, where you get to have that like small, intimate experience.
Yeah.
Like one of mine, I remember I was doing a live broadcast for a concert here in Detroit, and it was a Slash show doing the solo thing. And it wasn't like a sound check party. There weren't listeners and stuff in there, but they were doing the sound check. And I just happened to be in the room broadcasting, so I went in and watched it. And then Slash is up there just like, well, I'm just going to screw around with the guitar. And then you got Slash just jamming out a solo that's nothing. He's just making up as he goes. And it's just you and people stocking the bar for the show watching this thing. And it's like, it's almost cooler than actually going to the show, those little things. And so when you get someone like Tom Morello doing a small, like you said, 300 people in a bar, Tom Morello just going at the guitar, like that's like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, he finished the night off with like I think 4 or 5 songs. He invited people up on stage. Like, I mean, when he invited people, like whoever wants to come up on stage, come on up. And there was like 50 people up.
That's
on
awesome.
Stage. And so talk about sound checks. We can talk about this all day, but yeah. I remember one time watching Bob Seger sound check in this empty arena, you know, at the Palace, you know, 18,000, whatever. Yeah. 18,000 empty seats, and all of a sudden he goes, all right, let's do Turn the Page. I'm like, holy crap, I'm going to see Turn the Page with an empty arena.
That's cool.
The whole thing, man. Yeah. I'm like, this is awesome. So anyhow, but we could talk about that all day. But sure. Yeah, if you get a chance, go see that Tom Morello thing. And hey, man, you know what? I mean, just seriously, if you get a chance to go see some of your favorite bands live, just do it, because you never know. It could be the last time. We talked about that Chris Cornell thing. I didn't know, you know, seeing Soundgarden, I know it was going to be the last time we saw them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anyways, give your socials. Let's do this.
Al Beck Radio. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF. You can follow the show as well at Talkin' Rock with One. And, of course, so you can leave us a voicemail, too, 248-586-2988. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Got some cool guests coming up here in the future, a few more possibly before the end of the year. Thank you so much for rocking with Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.